Paul is one of those particular individuals who just seems to be able to go on and on and on at great length. What a fine preacher, you know? Come on. Sometimes it's hard to decipher all that Paul says, but if we give ourselves a little bit of breathing room, if you will, and maybe step back a little bit, we will notice in this passage that Kim read for us that there are some very particular things that Paul is doing. I want to focus in particular chapter 3, 14 through 19, where we hear that Paul prays for the Ephesian church for several things. The first thing that he prays for the Ephesian church is that they may be strengthened through God's Spirit in their inner person. The second thing that they pray for, or he prays for, is that Christ may dwell in their hearts. The third thing that he prays for is that they would comprehend the fullness, the breadth, the height, the depth of God. And finally, he prays that they will know the love of Christ. I've got to tell you, folks, that this is also Paul's prayer for us. And I need to tell you also that it's my prayer for you. And I hope that it is also your prayer for me and for each other. But I caution you, we need to be careful and understand what's being prayed for and why. A wise old woman that I knew in my first appointment, among other things that she said to me, one time said, "You know, you have to be careful what you pray for." And sometimes that's true. You pray for a certain outcome, you pray for something to happen, and all of a sudden that prayer gets answered in ways you couldn't possibly have imagined, or maybe even desired. You got to be careful. These prayers that Paul prays for the Ephesian church, and the prayers that I pray for you, and I hope that you pray for me, if they follow this pattern, put us in a particular position to understand what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in this second, third millennium, whatever you call it, in 2006. The first one, that we may be strengthened. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I want to believe that I'm already strong enough. I want to believe that I can do the things that I need to do already. And that I don't need to be strengthened because I already have what it takes to do what needs to be done. Now, I understand that there may be times when I might fall short, but I don't want to talk about those. And I don't want to think about what it is that God is really about in this world. But Paul is praying this prayer for the Ephesians and for us, and I pray it for you, and I hope you pray it for me, because I got to tell you, the challenges of being a Christian disciple, one of Christ's disciples in 2006, is going to be a challenge that you cannot meet faithfully if God does not strengthen you. You cannot. In fact, you never could meet the challenges of being a faithful disciple without the strength of God. If you are going it alone, you are going the wrong way. If you are going it alone, you will fail and fall into despair. If you are going it alone, you will grow weary and not finish. to be a faithful disciple means that we need the strength of Christ. Because the challenges of living in a world that is more passionate for evil than it is for love, in a world that is more passionate for wealth than it is for God's abundance, in a world that is passionate for leisure, in a world that needs work, in a world that is passionate for selfishness, in a world that needs selflessness, a Christian disciple is going to face challenges over and over and over again. In a world that would prefer to condemn, blame, and seek revenge, the Christian disciple needs strength to forgive, love, and to heal. And that's what we're called to do. And we can't do it without Christ's strength. Paul goes on then to preach to pray that Christ would dwell in their hearts. As I began to think about this, and we so glibly say out of our vacation Bible school experience that we want Jesus to live in our hearts. And we do. We earnestly desire that. We need to think about, though, what this prayer means. What's the alternative to Jesus living in our hearts? Who's going to live there if Jesus doesn't live there? Well, I tell you, most of us would say that I'll live there myself. Myself will dwell within my heart. What? Who else? But don't you know that we can be deluded and we can be fooled? I know I have. And when I have listened to my selfishness, when I've listened to my natural man, so to speak, not only have I done things detrimental to myself, but I've even done things to hurt others. In short, I was able to become a pawn and a tool of the one who was truly living within me, which was evil and bent on opposing God. And while my selfishness and my desires might have been satisfied, Christ was not, nor the demands of discipleship. You see what's critical here. If Christ is not truly alive within our hearts, then somebody else is controlling our lives and our choices and our thoughts and our actions. If Christ is not there guiding us, breathing into us His Spirit, filling us full of Christ's life, then we are living another kind of life that's destiny is not a good place to go. It's destined for destruction. And so I want Christ to live in my heart, and I want Christ to live in your heart, so that you would have, and I would have, as Paul would have for the Ephesians as well, the sense of direction and protection that comes from having the living Christ a part of your life. Paul goes on. And now I'm drawing a blank. What's his next prayer? What did we say his next prayer was? Thank you, Tom. I can always depend on Tom. Thank you, sir. Good. Good. Now, we need the strength of Christ. We need the life of Christ within us. This knowledge of God's breadth and depth and height is essential. Now, what is it that you are going to know if you have this knowledge of God's enormous infinitude. What possibly can you know that you or I, when we rightly view the world from God's point of view, have a clue or a claim to being God? Now, God promises us that we will have eternal life. That means that we will be able to dwell in a timeless place, enjoying the riches of God. But the truth of the matter is that if we share in God's eternity, that still does not mean that we share in God's unlimited nature when it's about space or knowledge. We cannot be, and we shall never be, every place at every moment as God is. We cannot know, and we shall never know, every detail of every living thing, of every darkened corner of the universe like God knows it. We may be invited to know some of that, but we will never know all of that. To understand the enormous infinitude of God is to understand that we are not God. But it also is to understand that God has an abundance, indeed an endless supply of all that we need. Think about it. Not all that we want, but all that we need, including the forgiving love He shares through Christ, the unlimited power to bring us from our current state to a greater place. Indeed, the power of life, so that even in the face of death, even through our death, even beyond our death, we are not separated from God, but we are given new life. In fact, the power of God is so enormous and the abundant love of God is so incredibly infinite that we can live in eternity right now. Indeed, we are. For the person who draws his strength from God, the person who has Christ living in their heart, is a person who is already dwelling in eternal life. Even though they have yet to pass through death, they have begun the joy and the journey and the life that God gives. And so it moves to a prayer that seems so incredibly tame at first reading, that we may know the love of Christ. Oh, that sounds so nice. It sounds so sweet. But we need to understand that the love of Christ was a love that gave everything. That gave life itself, that we might have life. And that the love of Christ demands that we are honest about ourselves and our sins and our proclivity for evil. And then it calls us to that endless well of God's forgiving love. To know the love of Jesus Christ is to dwell in a place that understands the world and our lives from God's point of view. And I got to tell you, folks, the Ephesians need to hear it when Paul said it. We need to hear it and know it today. Because when I look around and I think about my life and your lives, and I think about what God has called us to, the challenges of being a disciple in 2006 are pretty incredible. And we need God's strength. And we need the life of Christ within us. And we need the humility and the understanding that all that we need comes from God and we are not God. And we need the love of Christ, not only to know the forgiveness of Christ, but the life that Christ offers through obedience and discipleship. And you might say to yourself, well, this is all very well and good, Tony, in theory, but what does it mean practically? It means precisely this, that the Peach Festival, which we are doing this week, which presses upon us so mightily in terms of work, is going to call us and challenge us at every turn to believe that we don't need Christ, that Christ doesn't live in ourselves or others, and that Christ is not who we can count on, but we have to count on ourselves. We will face that challenge, and we also face this opportunity, the opportunity to have the joy of sharing the love of Christ that we know, not only through forgiveness, not only through strengthening, not only through understanding, but the Christ that we know that lives in our heart. We have an opportunity to share Christ this Saturday. And so there's a very practical application to this prayer. It means if we pray it faithfully for each other, that somehow this week will be more holy than it would have been before. More what God had called it to be than it was going to be before. That somehow in the expression of working together, serving together, of offering this gift to the community, that we will indeed somehow show to somebody else who needs to know the very same things that Paul prays for the Ephesians and for us and for each other for us. It doesn't stop there, though. Imagine if we allow God to be unleashed in our lives through our obedience and our offering of ourselves, and that this Peach Festival has an effect upon us that is just, whoa, God, we didn't know you would do that if we would let you, but you did it. Because after that, we're going to Pascagoula to serve. In a mission trip. And I say, we're all going. Whether you're physically going, or whether you contributed money, or whether you just pray that we'll do well, or stay safe, we're all going to Pascagoula. And we're going to do what God calls us to do. I wonder how that will be if we do that with an abandoned love for God. I bet you God will do something we never thought could happen. And on it goes. We're a people that are not trying to build the past. We're a people who are not trying to make real a present. We're a people who are living into God's future, who are living into what God has called us to. And for that, we need this prayer to be strengthened, to have Christ in us, to understand the breadth of God's love, and to know the love of Christ. And so the invitation is there. And I think the prayer is answered. I believe the prayer is answered already. And I'll continue to pray, and I hope you pray for me the very same. Because this is the prayer that God will certainly honor. Let us pray. We pray, Lord, that we will be strengthened to face the challenges of faith and love today and this week. And Lord, may the life of Christ live in our hearts and rule us so that selfishness and greed and all other claimants to the throne of our life will be usurped and sent away. And having allowed you to take the throne of our heart, Lord, we ask that you would give us an awareness of your overwhelming, unlimited, abundant supply of love. That what we need will be provided, and that we will have all the good that we can have from your hand because of your generous love. Help us to trust you and obey you, to follow you, to love you, and to be honest with you. And Lord, may we know the love of Christ, if but in a small way today, then more and more every day, so that at some point our awareness and our sensibilities are so tuned to your love that we are aware of your presence in all places and in all times and in all ways in our life. Oh Lord, you are alive today, more real than anything else here. Help us to live in your reality. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.